Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SRF Limited Q2 FY16 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Gupta of Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vikram. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome all the participants who have logged in for the conference call of SRF. Special thanks to the management for giving us the opportunity to host this conference call for our client. From the management, we have Mukund sir, Rahul sir, and Rajinder sir with us. Good afternoon, all of you, sir.
Good afternoon.
Sir, first, I will request you if you can take us through your current quarterly results. Also, if you can share the first half numbers and a little bit on the industry dynamics, how it's changing, and then we can follow it up with the Q&A session, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Over to you, sir. Please go ahead.
Sure. I'll make the opening remark. Good afternoon. This is Mukund Trivedi. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on SRF's Q2 and H1 FY 2016 results conference call. We will begin this call with brief opening remarks from our President and CFO, Mr. Rajinder Prasad, following which we'll have the forum open for an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we begin this call, I would like to point out that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Prasad to make his opening remarks.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone, and I welcome you to this call, and thank you all for taking the time to participate in it. As in the past two investor calls, we will provide you a broad overview of the factors that have had an impact on the company as a whole during the period under review, that is Q2 and H1 of financial year 2016. We will also share with you significant events that may have happened in various businesses and that had a material impact on the businesses. Then we will have the floor open for Q&A session, where I would be glad to address any queries that you may have. You all are aware of the process that we follow, that we keep my remarks to the briefest, and we hope that in the question-answer session, the queries will be adequately answered. Let me start by saying that given the state of global and domestic economic scenarios, the company delivered steady performance as a whole. There were some factors which have had a company-wide impact, and those factors are, and these are not in any significance or in order of importance or by business. These are the factors as we see them as they impact the company. So this you have to keep in mind when we discuss the questions raised by you. These aspects you'll have to keep in mind because these are overarching factors which affect the company. So it is in the backdrop of these factors that the questions will arise, and I should be able to provide you the answers. Overall results show impressive Q2 growth year-on-year, but if you review the results and do a slightly deeper analysis, it would reveal that the performance from different quarters made up the deficits in other geographies and other businesses. So in a nutshell, certain income and profits came from areas which were different from what we expected. But nonetheless, the company as a whole performed well. Not only did the packaging film business perform well in trying circumstances, the performance of its overseas units provided a boost not only to the segment revenues but to the profits as well. This has further reinforced our belief that diversified business are our strength, and we have been mentioning this in the past as well, that diversified businesses and now diversified geographies even out our revenues and profits from time to time. Our ongoing focus on entering newer markets, enhancing returns through better product mix to include higher levels and new value-added products. So we have been emphasizing all along that we will diversify into newer markets and introduce value-added products and change our product mix as we go along. So the product mix could change that we have existing products and we start selling in a manner that we sell more of higher yielding products. The other is that we keep adding value-added products. So this has been the journey that we've been adding value-added products. Another point that I need to make is that the weakness in global agriculture sector, which you would all be aware of, has had some impact on our specialty chemicals business. We believe that this impact is temporary and the long-term story and prospects remain stable as per expectations. See, when the whole environment is not conducive, you can fight against it up to a certain stage. But at some point, the overall business environment, in this case agriculture sector, it can actually be overwhelming. So the strength of the company is how well and how far you can fight it to a minimum impact. I would also like to highlight that we have been consistently saying that most of our businesses are seasonal. And especially specialty chemicals is not a quarter-on-quarter business, and this we should keep in mind as we discuss the results. Further, the reduced commodity prices, especially crude-based inputs, which mainly impact our technical textiles and packaging film, had a downward effect on our revenues. So once you start comparing revenues, you'll find that revenues may have gone down, but you have got to compare them keeping in mind that the whole slab, the whole basis has shifted down when you compare with last year quarter. So that needs to be kept in mind. And that's why personally I don't find revenue as a very good measure for comparison. The operating efficiency parameters continue to improve, contributing to the bottom line. Our endeavor to become the lowest cost manufacturer across our entire product range is paying dividends in these difficult times. Due to our efficient capital management, the company's interest costs have reduced and our efforts to reduce them further are continuing. And this has also got to be viewed with the fact that our overall business is increasing. Right? So even then we are reducing interest costs as we go along. While the investments in Dahej and other parts of the company continue, the debt levels remain at a conservative level and there is not much change in the debt levels which could be alarming or disturbing. Now, having said this, set the context, what we will do is leave the floor open for question and answers, and I hope all your queries on Q2 financials and H1 would be addressed then. And I will also be happy to clarify in case there are certain industry trends or what's happening in this industry, you want me to expand on it more, I can, depending on the question. So, now, Rohan, I leave it to the people to ask questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. At this time, if you wish to ask any question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We have a first question from the line of Niket Shah from Motilal Oswal Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks so much for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers in a challenging environment. I have a few questions. Just wanted to understand what would be a mix between R22 and R134 now, and within R22, if you can just give us a breakup between how much was export, domestic and captive consumption for the specialty chemical business.
In R22, you said?
Yeah.
So, See, R22, broadly speaking, the capacity is 10,000 tons.
Correct.
Okay. Last year, I think if I had mentioned, we had used 3,800 tons internally.
Yeah.
Some number in that range.
Yeah.
So, right now, I'm... how much... So domestic R22 was about 9,000 tons.
Right.
Right. Export was 3142.
9,000 tons, 3,142, that really crosses about 10,000.
Okay. Right? Domestic includes plant transfers.
Okay, okay, so 9,000 and 3,140 for export. So this export virtually will actually come to zero and you know, your internal consumption for specialty
right.
chemical will go up. Is that a right way to look at it?
If you recall, I had also mentioned, and which we need to keep in mind, the quotas apply on both manufacturing and consumption of R22.
Sure.
This is the first point.
Sure.
Secondly, these quotas apply only for gas which is used as refrigerant.
Sure.
If you make a gas which is not used as a refrigerant but used as a downstream, to be used as feedstock for downstream,
mm-hmm.
then this ban doesn't apply.
Okay.
Okay, so as a result, I could keep manufacturing to my full capacity.
Right.
As long as I make available only the 10,000 tons which is permitted. The batch, so I could make 15,000 tons as an example. And use 5,000 tons internally
sure.
as feedstock and sell 10,000 outside.
So, but within this HFC 22, I presume you only take out the fluorine part, right? Or you just use the entire thing. So, what I'm trying to understand that...
Okay.
So, is the R22 completely used?
The feedstock is to get the F out of it.
So, the balance is wastage?
There's no wastage. It's one chemical.
Okay. Got the
and
point.
I'm not actually sure whether the other components of the chemical are reused somewhere else.
Okay. Sure.
It's a chemical. Let's take hydrochloric acid, right?
Right.
Actually, and I'm not a chemist, but
yeah.
common sense,
yeah.
you can take hydrogen out and chlorine out.
Correct, correct, correct.
I'm not sure whether all the components of...
are used somewhere.
...can be used separately.
Okay.
But the point is that R22 participates in a downstream reaction.
Right.
Let's say other companies are using R22 for PTFE.
Mm.
Right? Now, in the reaction... there will be certain byproducts or wastage which comes out.
Right.
Which I don't know whether you can identify whether it is coming from 22, a certain part of 22.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I got the point.
It participates in a reaction which gives PTFE and gives a whole lot of other downstream byproducts or wastage.
Sure. And just second thing, I wanted to understand how is the pricing for R22 moved versus R130 and R134A. So both, if you can just share how has been the trend in pricing because of various events.
Okay. This is only going by past experience.
Yeah.
And this happened in R11 and 12, which were the older gases.
Correct.
Normally what happens is when things are put under a restrictive regime,
mm-hmm.
which has quotas and permits and restrictions on import and export, generally, the prices tend to harden.
Okay.
This is what happened in 11-12.
Mm-hmm.
Not 2011-12, but R11 and 12.
Right.
Now R22 has come under a similar regime.
Mm-hmm.
So, the expectation is that the prices will harden.
Sure.
Because free flow of gas will not be possible across the world.
Right.
So, the pockets of shortfall cannot be made up by imports.
Correct.
That is one. The second piece one has to remember is that the import of charged air conditioners has ceased from 1st July, I think.
Correct.
So, in this season, lot of pre-charged air conditioners were imported in the hope for the next season.
Right.
But next season, whatever are required will have to come as empty compressors.
Correct. And domestic
and
demand.
And then charged here.
Yeah.
So this is one point. There's the other point that a whole lot of smuggling, etc. of this gas has been pretty much curtailed.
Sure.
Okay. Now I also mentioned that the manufacturing and supply have different quotas. Okay.
Right.
So the reduction of quotas has started from 1st January.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because the manufacturing can be actually restricted to the quota level,
mm-hmm.
the consumers have to also reduce their quota, what they consume.
Correct.
So suppose the reduction is 10%,
correct.
Then each consumer theoretically should be reducing by 10%.
Right.
If they are unable to reduce, they will be a clamoring for a limited supply.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moment there is a clamoring for restricted supply, the prices will start to go up.
Correct.
So people have to change their technology, people have to change their hardware to change to another blend.
Got
so
it.
People who are unwilling to devote that capital money,
right,
they'd rather say that, okay, I'll pay 2 rupees extra on R22 because it doesn't cost me too much per AC.
Correct.
So then there will be a differential because the demand has to be limited to 10, but people have not changed their behavior to limit it to 10.
Correct.
So this will be the dynamics in the product.
Got the point.
While the production will have to come down to 10.
Yeah.
And you can't import.
Correct. And sir, is it possible for you to just share that, you know, we were the first one to do R134A in India as well.
Yes.
And given the fact that the whole trend over, say, a 15-20 year period would, or maybe earlier, would really move toward HFC-1234YF. So are we capable enough, or are we really working in that direction to, you know, move towards that as well?
Okay, it is not HFC, it is HFO-1234.
Oh, yeah, sorry, my error, yeah.
HFO, so that everybody knows.
Yeah.
Now, one is that HFC-134A will not vanish, even by US's own time schedule that they have recommended. They are talking of 2035, so 2-3 points need to be noted. That HFC is not on a phase out, it is on a phase down.
Right.
Which means even at the end, there will be some residue which will continue to get made. First point. Second point, the pharma piece of 134A is not part of this reduction.
Sure.
So if you can continue to make pharma, you can continue to make 134A as long as it doesn't go into air conditioning.
Correct.
So the timeline is 2035 even by US, even by US's own submission.
Sure.
India's submission is it should be shifted by 15 years for developing countries.
Sure.
So you actually end up reaching a 15% level by 2050.
Sure.
Okay, that is the residue you can continue to make.
Right.
So it is not becoming zero. As per Indian, it should be 2050. As per US, it should be 2035.
Right.
We are still looking at 20 years.
Right.
Third point is that there is no substitute yet of scale for 134A.
Right.
This is a gas which is used in car air conditioning.
Right.
I believe it would be 90% to 95%.
Right.
It is used for some refrigerators. In India, that is about 25% of all refrigerators are 134A based. It is also used as part of a blend of various other gases.
Right.
Other mix which is used for other cooling applications.
Correct.
So right now there are no volumes available of a substitute to replace it. So it is not an on-off situation. That you can stop today and substitute it by something else.
Correct.
Fourthly, the hardware required to use the other gas will be different. So there will be a whole lot of capex which is required upstream by the OEMs to change their compressors and evaporators and condensing coils and so on.
Correct.
So it is not something which is happening right now.
Right.
We believe that India's consumption will keep going up because India is a hot country.
Yeah.
So, right now there is not much. Plus, now to answer your real question, right now not many automobile manufacturers are opting or are required to opt for HFO-1234YF.
Correct.
Now, because CapEx is required, the big people, Honeywell and DuPont, who had actually developed this gas, are in the process of convincing everybody to transition to the new gas. So, at this point, it is not, I would say it is not worth our while to enter into that gas and engage in transitioning everybody else.
Right. Correct.
Right. So we think we know the opportune timing to enter.
Got it.
So at that time we believe we will be able to enter.
So I just wanted, my question was more on, if there's, whenever the time comes, we can definitely do that or no, it's just...
That's what I'm saying. We believe we can enter when the time comes.
Perfect. And just final question and I'll...
Sorry to interrupt. Would you like to come back?
Okay, no problem. I'll do that. Okay. Thanks so much. Yeah.
Thanks, Nikit.
Yeah. Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah.
Sir, Hello, sir. So just wanted to know the price movements that have happened in R22 gas.
R22?
Yes.
Yeah. R22 naturally average realizations have been going up. Exact figures I will find out probably by the end of the call and let you know.
Okay. And in the past, when you were referring to R11 and R12, what kind of price movements have had happened at that time? And
I think from when the restrictions played, from when the restrictions came into place, I think the price movements may have been twice or 2.5 times.
And it sustained itself through the life cycle of those gases?
Yes, actually it is not sustained. They keep increasing. As the gas becomes, what happens as the production quotas come into place period after period,
okay,
the prices start taking a jump.
Oh.
The point is, if the consumption doesn't slow down as fast as production has to, the prices will go up.
Okay. And a lot of this consumption has to be actually a replacement consumption, right?
Exactly. No, replacement, not in, I'm not talking of replacement in, it is both OEM and secondary market.
Okay.
But if I can't reduce, suppose my air conditioner uses R22 as an OEM and I'm not able to replace it by the new gas, I'll have to keep buying the old R22 with increasing volumes of air conditioners.
With increasing volume of air conditioner and shorter volumes of the gas.
Absolutely. So then there will be a clamor for the product.
Okay, so 11 and 12 through their cycle after they were restricted, the prices kept on going up vis-a-vis the production kept on going down.
Correct. So normally what happens, the volumes go down and the net realization keeps going up.
So you foresee the same for R22 as well?
That is our expectation.
Okay.
Because going by past behavior,
yes,
and thinking that where there is a restriction, there is quota and people don't change their consumption patterns,
okay,
and production patterns are changing, okay, there will be a clamor.
And second question, on the raw material side of this particular business, how we have, because last year chloroform was a fairly high price. So what it is on the raw material side?
The raw material of this is a mineral called fluorspar.
Now,
fluorspar is abundantly available around the world. Even in India, it's abundantly available. Only thing is, it's the quality of fluorspar which matters. So, if you get inferior quality fluorspar, there is a lot of concentration that needs to be done. Certain processes cannot consume inferior fluorspar and make hydrofluoric acid of the required quality. So, at one point, much before we started doing investor calls, we did deliberate whether we want to make strategic investment in fluorspar mines. And at that time, we realized that fluorspar is available, it's only a question of cost. And the investment to be made didn't justify the few patches of high cost of fluorspar that arise. So, what happens is China has about 51% of good fluorspar deposits, China, globally. It is today mining 52% of whatever the globe needs. What happens is when the fluorspar prices go up, all the mines which had shut down earlier become operational. And the moment they become operational, the supply of required fluorspar goes up also and the prices come down. So it's a balancing thing. It is not it is not in scarce supply.
Can you give the current state fluorspar YO and QOQ price behavior and
quite even. It would be, I think, in my it should be about $300 a ton.
So it's not moved anywhere. Both
not much. And earlier it used to be $500, $600 when the new ones were coming up.
This was when?
This was. 500 must have been about 2011-12.
Okay, so YOY QOQ fluorspar is flat, and how about chloroform?
No, chloroform is made out of chloroform we make on our own.
Okay, but what would be the market prices for chloroform?
Chloroform cannot be sold as chloroform.
Okay.
Oh, no, now what is happening, these are one of the chloromethanes which are coming under restriction also.
Okay.
So, it doesn't matter whether you can sell chloroform because we make our own.
Okay.
But there is something else that you also make. So, there is something else that you also make which is carbon tetrachloride. Now, these things are sold as solvents which this carbon tetrachloride cannot be sold. So, you have to build a downstream process to be moved. Okay. Yeah. So, what happens is that chloroform which we make from fluorspar gets used downstream as into R22.
So, the key raw material in fluorochemistry is fluorspar. Any other key raw material in the price trend you want to highlight?
No, there will be, I think there is a thing, methanol or... no, this is what you make, the other raw material. So, there is, because if I know my chemistry, there is somewhere you have to take a carbon from, okay, which comes from a crude-based derivative. I am confused between methanol and methyl. I think it's methanol.
Okay. Thank
you. Right. So, but the main thing, the process is fluorspar, you make, out of fluorspar, you make hydrofluoric acid. And hydrofluoric acid, you react with this petro-based thing that I am mentioning. And from there, you make R22.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Methanol is the other one.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Cheda. One point I should say that the impact of the cost of fluorspar in the final product is very minimal. It means the fluorine that you extract from fluorspar and the molecules required to make R22, the cost impact is not too much.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
We have our next question from the line of Ritesh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks so much, sir, for taking my questions.
Ritesh.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
Understand, sir, the chemical business EBIT margins have been down YOY. And I would assume that obviously R22 realizations directionally should have gone up. R134A volume growth or the asset utilization clearly should have improved.
Yeah.
So I just want to understand why. I understand that some part of it will be specialty chemicals impact because it would have. So first, can you break up the specialty chemical growth and fluorochemicals growth, and then what could drive the margins down by about 150 basis points or so?
Yeah. Actually, when you say 150 basis points, one is I've told you it's not a quarter-on-quarter business.
Correct.
So the moment you compare margins from derived or calculated from the numbers available to you, it is a basket of fluorochemicals and specialty chemicals. And R&D expenses and engineering plastics. So what you see is a blended margin. But having said that, if the weightage of fluoro specialties in any quarter, in the full CB numbers that you see, chemical business numbers that you see, if the play of fluoro specialties is lower, generally the margins should be lower. So the 23.4 or some margin that you see today, EBIT margin, is basically because there is more play of fluorochemicals and lesser play of specialty chemicals. The growth between the two, suffice it to say that both have grown, fluoro specialties and chemical business, both have grown in the region of 15-16% year on year.
So, but I mean, if I look at the segmental numbers, it's up by about 14% YOY.
Correct.
So, if I assume that R22 and obviously R22 has grown at double digits at least, and given that, I think you have mentioned that in your PPT as well, that R134A volumes have grown in double digit growth. So, that would imply that if specialty chemical has grown in line with what others have grown,
right,
that margin should be same or should have improved, because you would also see better operating leverage as your revenue growth grows.
No, what happens is, let's say you have said that even R134 has grown. One is that R134 and R22 are seasonal businesses, because the summer is over.
Correct.
Okay. Two, R134 A growing, it is all said and done, it will have a lower margin than specialty chemicals. If it contributes the same growth in revenue, actually the margins, overall margins will come down. Okay. And the margins in specialty chemicals have also come down a little bit.
Okay.
We have not been disclosing margins earlier. So even here, it, I'm suffice it to say that the margins of specialty chemicals have also come down.
And what about fluorochemicals directionally?
Directionally, they have done very well. Fluorochemicals has done very well. So this is what my point is, which is what I said, that the diversity, the diversity in our business actually makes up. Now, let me, not that you have raised the point, fluoro specialty contains basically two parts, agri and pharma. So the agri part didn't do well, but in turnover terms, all the lag of agri, of agriculture was picked up by pharma. So whatever we were focusing earlier on trying to increase our pharma, the percentage of pharma has increased in the overall bucket.
Okay.
So chemical, fluorochemicals had to pull its own weight, while fluoro specialties was able to pull its own weight. If we didn't have pharma, it would have gone down. Okay, but we are now actually scoffing at a rate of 16% growth. Today, very few chemical and agro companies are able to give you 16% growth in this last, this quarter. There are other companies, I think you would have seen the results. Agrochemical and specialty chemical business has grown itself is, I would say, credit worthy. And partly it has grown because of the element of pharma in it.
And under this backdrop, sir, I mean, any full year guidance or anything which you would like to, us to, I mean?
As of now, we are not changing our annual guidance because we know it's not a quarter on quarter business.
Right.
The visibility we have till now doesn't compel us to, you know, think that our annual targets will be missed.
And your annual target, which I remember,
which we have been saying 30 to 35%
for specialty chemicals.
That's right.
Okay, that's good to hear, sir.
Yeah. So we think. See, what is also happening? You must realize if you see the prices of agro products, they are at 5-year lows. Whether it is soya, whether it is corn, and what has happened also is there have been droughts in Brazil, droughts in California. There has been an extended winter in North America, and between Brazil and America, they are the number one and number two agro products manufacturing producing countries. So if these two start suffering, then the farmers stop using pesticides. If the summer is not good, then the pests are also lower. So because the locust and other pests are lower, less pesticide gets used. So there has been a, you know, kind of a global phenomena in the use of agrochemicals. Okay, so that has been the real cause, and the global majors are also, if you see their results in agrochemicals, they are also having a little bit of a tough time. There have been dry conditions in Canada as well. There's been flooding of illegal agrochemicals in Latin America. So what, when it, see, because the Brazilian economy per se is not doing well, partly driven because the agricultural cycle and the commodity cycle is on a low. So the farmers, etc., are also resorting to cheaper alternatives. So there is some kind of inferior agrochemicals which are finding their way into larger markets. So all this is actually causing a slowdown in not only in agrochemicals, but everything that is related to agriculture. So from what I understand, even agricultural equipment demand is not doing well. So,
right.
But for us, the chemical business per se is not causing concern at this point of time.
So anything you would like to highlight on pharma client wins, anything which you have recently, I mean, we know that one of them would be, what is driving would be hepatitis C drug ingredient that you are manufacturing.
Yes.
But else that is coming to pipeline, which...
We are in discussion at this point. I am not able to mention it on the call. But like I had mentioned earlier, that in 2 years, we want this segment, pharma segment, to be 25%. Okay, 25% with an increasing fluoro specialty base. Okay, so that's why achieving the 25 becomes quite difficult, quite a challenge, because the base also keeps increasing of fluoro specialties. Rahul here is mentioning to me that even today the pharma component is 24%. Okay, last year it was 17. This 24 has happened because the agro piece has not done that well. But when I'm saying 25, I'm saying with a larger size of pie, we should still have 25% of pharma, which should be a 2-year target.
Correct. And sir, last question.
Would you like to come back in the queue?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Sir, requested to kindly restrict the questions to 2 participants.
Okay.
We have a next question from the line of Neeraj Mansingka from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for giving an opportunity. Sir, can you repeat the volumes for R134?
R134 volumes, I can give you the thing, but we still maintain our estimate of 8,000 tons for the year.
Okay. And so what was the volume for the quarter?
Doesn't matter because it is seasonal, no?
Okay.
What I'm saying is, in the quarter, the volume naturally will reduce when there's less of requirement for this gas.
Got it, sir. And when you say 8,000 tons, how much would you imply for exports and how much you imply for the domestic?
Yeah, in domestic should be about, we expect to do about 5,000 tons.
Okay, and sir, sorry, I could not get the R22 volumes as well properly. Can you repeat that as well?
R22 volumes.
There were two parts, right? One was the sales to OEM, and other is like.
R22, those numbers which I gave.
Right.
Oh, so there was a misunderstanding here in the papers. Why, if you recall, I had mentioned in that it, some number like 9,000 tons. And 1,000 tons export.
Yeah.
Cannot be true because our capacity is about 11,000.
That's the reason I actually asked.
So those numbers were actually 99 crores and something else.
Okay.
Okay. They were not in volumes. Volumes at present I don't have.
Okay, sir.
Okay, I'm correcting myself that those were not volumes, they were amounts.
Right.
Okay. Just anyway you ask.
Yeah, I'm going ahead with the other ones. Do let us know, sir, that during the mid of the call, whenever you get the data. Other thing is, sir, on the R32, what is your thought process now that you're doing that string plant?
Yeah, R32 is actually pretty much on track. Huh?
Okay.
On track meaning that the project is on. See, R32 is one thing which has actually two uses. One is it can be used as R32 directly in air conditioner as an alternate gas to 22.
Hmm.
And it can be used in blends.
Right.
There are certain manufacturers in India like Daikin, which has actually said that we will make air conditioners on R32. Right now they are importing their R32.
Okay. But the market, it's not yet clear, na? Which one is scale up. So I just think, wondering, what is your thoughts on which of the...
Here we are saying is we are going to produce 5,000 tons. And actually, sir, we have put up a capacity right now of 2,000 tons.
Right. And sir, when it will be commercial?
I think in the first quarter of 2016.
Okay, Q1 FY17 if it
is. Yeah, Q1 17.
Right, sir. And so can you just mentioned about a chloromethane restriction. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, what happens is some of the products that get made in the process
right.
of wanting to make R22 and other derivatives,
right.
they are covered under the Montreal Protocol of ozone depleting substances.
Even the intermediate is talking of?
Correct. Okay. So they are intermediates only if you use them somewhere, if they are finished products.
Right.
Like carbon tetrachloride, CCl4, it's used in paints. It's used in other products as solvents.
Right.
You can no longer use it as solvent.
Okay.
You have to use it as some downstream, as a feedstock for something else. And similarly, there may be restrictions on chloroform. I'm not 100% sure. But all these are ozone, because what happens is when they evaporate, they actually harm the environment.
Got it, sir. And so you also mentioned about the seasonality of your chemicals business mix. Can you just give a thought on how your seasonality generally looks on between Q1, Q2, and Q3 and Q4 on the fluorochemicals and the specialty? Generally, which quarters are heavy?
Fluorochemicals in refrigerant gases.
Yes.
In refrigerant gases, what happens is sales start taking place before March.
Yeah.
Right. So people stock up in India from January onwards.
Right, right.
If the same thing was to be done in the US, people start stocking up from around November, December. Okay, because
right.
the plant has a capacity which is annual.
Yeah.
While the demand comes all clubbed together in 3-4 months.
Right.
So that is actually the profile of
refrigerants.
Refrigerant. But on the other hand,
yeah.
if you think about it logically, some part of the earth will be having a summer and some part will be having a winter. So if you even out the supply or the demand, you could actually be selling right through the year.
Okay. So what I was actually, you know, trying to gauge is, if you look at the mix of your margins are generally higher when your fluoro-specialty chemical contribution is higher.
Right.
So just wanted to know on a sales mix, which quarter has a higher sales mix for fluoro-specialty?
No, now fluoro-specialty will always be higher.
Okay, so I'm telling you, okay, that way.
Fluoro-specialty, because fluoro-specialty is on a faster growth path. Then fluorochemicals. So, and fluoro specialties has already overtaken the fluorochemicals.
Is there any seasonality in the fluoro specialty chemical side?
There's no seasonality in fluoro specialties, except that it is bunched up in orders. Because it is, many things are custom made. So,
okay.
the variation will come quarter to quarter. I don't think it is season based.
So the drop that came, sir, in agri, was it more because of the bunching of orders not coming
in? This has come because the demand from our consumers,
right.
our customers, has dropped because demand on their final product has come down.
Okay.
So let's say there's a company X which puts our product in a particular pesticide.
Yeah.
And their pesticide is not being sold in South America.
Yeah, I got it.
So then they have, in a sense, cancelled our orders or said we'll not buy today, we'll buy tomorrow.
Right. So then I'm just continuing this question. I just end this and I'll close it. So if the pharma margins, pharma revenues have offset the agri side,
yeah.
Then why have the margins come off? Is it because that the pharma was slightly lesser in volumes and so...
Right. Pharma was lesser in volumes. Pharma in a sense is still our, you know, initial steps.
Okay, so you expect next few quarters as pharma scale up happens, the margin contribution margins will rescale back to the.
I think so, because even then, if you see what the margin has reduced is from 25% to 23.5% of CB as a whole.
Yes, sir.
So it's not that earth shattering in today's conditions.
Got it, sir. Thank you, and do let us know the volumes if possible.
Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Mansingha.
We have a next question from the line of Aditya Aluwalia from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hi, Aditya.
Hi, sir. Just on the packaging films business, so you'd mentioned last quarter that there were some issues with the competitor which had helped margins. Can we say that this quarter's margins are more representative?
This quarter margins
are more representative of the sustainable EBIT that the business is doing?
I would say so. Except, as it appears today, the market is a challenge.
Okay.
Market is a challenge, but
right.
Because of our product mix and the kind of customers we deal with, I think we will be able to maintain. Okay, and because of our successful mastering of the costs,
right,
continuous downward profile of the cost, we are able to still
right.
protect our margins. But to say
right.
that demand and supply is easy is easy today is not right. In plain commodity films, it is still a fight.
I understand that. And we are going ahead with our investments that we discussed.
Yeah, investment is very much on track, and I think the entire project is on schedule.
Right.
Yeah.
If
our assessment is right, we should be able to hit the market at the right time when it comes in March 17.
You mean that some capacities would have shut down by then and
shut down or no? See, demand is linear, so demand goes up by 10 to 12% in any case.
I see.
That is the point. So whether capacity shut down or not, demand will eat into existing surpluses.
Right. Okay. And I'll just have one more before I get back into queue.
Yeah.
This on the overall business outlook, as I can make out from the call, is that there is some slowdowns on from the agrochem side that we have witnessed in the last 3 months.
That's right.
And apart from that, the businesses remain on track, or is there some slowdown that we are witnessing in other businesses as well, apart from
so
the
by and large, what you have said is bang on. Except, I would like people to know that, if the whole economy is, you are all aware how the economy is performing. Right, and one of the keystones is transportation sector. So if goods are not being produced or manufactured or grown, there's nothing to shift. As a result, your tire consumption, your trucks, etc. will go down. If you compound this with agri sector not looking good, you know what's happening to tractors, right? So agricultural equipment and transportation equipment is not likely to do that well. And if mining sector is still languishing, so the demand in technical textiles, we've been keeping our head above water, we have been meeting what we said we will meet, till now it is good. I don't know whether the same trend in demand will continue. That's our assessment, that demand will be sluggish until the economy, fires up again. One hears that there are certain changes taking place in the infrastructure sector. If those changes are real, especially in road and road construction, if those positive signs are real, then demand is likely to come back slowly. Right now, it is very sluggish. Nothing is happening.
I understand. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, one more point I would like people to know, because people ask me about radialization time to time. There is a recent trend of some imported radials coming into the country. Radials have their own challenge. They can be some radials can be retreaded and some can't. So if the imported radials are coming in and they can't be retreaded, one has to see how the market will take it. But at this point, we are passing through that phase where imported radials are coming in, either by large dealers or some companies,
tire traders.
Thank you.
So you should be aware of this.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Avinash Agarwal from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Hi, Avinash. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, sir. Just wanted to understand this on the pharma side. You mentioned about doing well. So, are there any one-off sort of orders that you got this quarter, or this kind of pharmaceutical sales that we are getting on the specialty chemical side that will continue? And
this is not one-off.
Okay. Okay.
This is which was there even in the last quarter, but the ramp up has been, in a sense, ramp up has been better than what we expected. And the demand has been very favorable. The response has been very favorable. And it is not one time.
Okay, that's great. And so you mentioned in your presentation that there are three new products that have been launched during the quarter. So are these more on the agrochemical side or on the pharmaceutical side, sir?
Agrochemical.
Okay, okay.
That is one of the reasons how we have been actually able to protect. See, even the whole fluoro specialties have shown a 16% increase.
Yeah.
Right? So if we were to go only by our existing products in agribusiness, probably that would not have been the case. But we've expanded our portfolio, so as a result, we made up. So we are taking countermeasures to face the reduced action in agri by increasing our own products that we have to offer.
And sir, on the film side of the business, the overseas entities have done well. And you know, you mentioned that utilizations are above 100%. Could you just mention one or two important things, you know, that have happened?
I'll tell you what. In South Africa, if you see, the turnover has not gone up too much. I mean, you don't know the breakup. But if you see overseas, the turnover between two quarters has not gone up tremendously.
Okay.
But if you see the bottom line, it has gone up. So one is efficiencies have improved. Two, the cost structures. Three, we have gone back and renegotiated prices with the local buyers. So earlier, if you recall, till we were getting local approvals, we were exporting from South Africa. This is what I had said. And I had said that realization in export from South Africa are lower than selling to domestic market. Because domestic market is a highly deficit market. And that time we were waiting for approvals. So as the approvals have come across, our shift has taken place from export to domestic in South Africa. So 65% of South African sales are in domestic market. Okay, and we have got approval. So key thing is we've shifted, as we got approvals, we shifted sales from export to domestic, the focus, and renegotiated and upped the rates and worked on the cost structures. On the other hand, Thailand, we are the largest in any case, and we export from there about 60%, and opposite of South Africa, 60 to 70% from Thailand is exported, but BOPET margins are still under pressure globally. So South Africa is not BOPET, it is BOPP plus, it's a very different kind of a market, while Thailand is BOPET and margins are under pressure.
So, would we attribute this quarter's performance largely to South Africa, sir?
Yes, terms of overseas performance to South Africa.
Okay, okay.
Not that Thailand is any, but it's not that good. But Thailand is a fabulously running plant with really low costs. And both of them produce close to 120% capacity.
Sure.
Except again, I must tell you that in South Africa, next quarter, coming quarter, you know, December is a challenge. Last fortnight of December and first week of January.
Yes, sir.
That is a disruptive kind of a quarter.
Sure, sir. Thank you, and all the best, sir.
Thank you, Avinash.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Ranjit Sirumala from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Hi, Ranjit.
Hi, sir. My question is like we would have gone from 15-18% in chemical business, specialty chemicals, and we are still maintaining 30% for the entire year's growth. So
yes.
What gives you the confidence of maintaining that particular growth? Because even if you average out, then the next second half should be in above 40% kind of a growth.
Yeah, but this is a little deceptive thing because if you see last year also, it was a rear-ended. Because this Q2, last year this Q2 had, in a way, exceptional sales, which had come from Q1 of last year.
Okay.
So because you are comparing with Q2 of higher sales, the growth appears low. But if you see the trend quarter on quarter on quarter last year, you'll see that it was quite rear-ended. So here, I mean, we know our, let's say we know what orders are in hand and what production plan we want to follow. And we think that the agro cycle might turn around a little bit because agriculture cycle, I think by definition, will not be very long.
Okay.
Because, you know, what happens is agricultural produce is perishable.
Yep.
Right? So unless bad weather, a bad climate forces agriculture cycle not to perform.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why it should not turn around.
Okay, sir. So the next question is like in the presentation we have also said that 5 more would be in the funnel of commercialization. So
that's right.
Just wanted to get a sense whether this is also on the agri side or something is on the pharma as well.
No, this is on agri.
Okay, completely agree. The 3 plus
4. Maybe one pharma. I'm not sure. Because the timing of it, I have to confirm.
Okay, so my last question is on the dimer side. So probably the higher percentage of pharma is on account of dimer as well? Or?
Oh, that dimer pharma comes actually in fluorochemicals and not in specialty chemicals.
Oh, okay. It comes under R134A4.
Ah, it comes under fluorochemicals. You are right.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Rohit Chavan from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, my first question is related to the what is your outlook on the price realization of the R134A gas going forward? And what kind of competition do you face in this product at Walmart? And if you can tell me who are the players in this field.
That's it? Okay. 134A is a product not that which everyone can make. So if I was to count, you can count the players probably on your fingers of two hands.
Okay.
So broadly speaking, there will be US players. There could be, there is Honeywell, DuPont, there would be a few European players, Solvay, etc. Then there is Mexichem, which is partly Mexican, partly US.
Okay.
And then there are Chinese players and SRF in India. Okay. So there is no player in Australia, no player in South Africa.
Oh.
Now the competition that one faces is basically from Chinese products.
Okay.
Today, because we have that 12,500 tons, we are working to get its cost structure to match Chinese.
Okay.
The cost structure.
Okay.
Once we are able to get a cost structure that I can sell at the Chinese rate, there is no competition. Why I am saying no competition is because quality-wise we would be better and probably viewed more reliable as well.
Okay. Okay. So quality matters in this product?
I beg your pardon?
Quality matters a lot in this product?
Quality matters not a lot, but quality matters. Because what will happen is... you don't want impurities coming in because they spoil the equipment.
Okay, fine, I got that.
Right, so your oil seals may break, or may actually there could be part failure, or compressor may fail also.
Okay.
If it has impurities, we also sell the same gas for propellant and for pharma.
Hmm.
So what the previous in question was on dimel, which is the pharma part of the gas, which is highly refined. So which may we buy from DuPont. But propellant we have entered into, we've got fresh approvals from local Indian manufacturers of asthma MDI, what is meter dose inhalers. So we've got approvals from local manufacturers as well. So part of our gas goes into... propellants also.
Okay.
For which there is not, again, for which there is not much competition.
So
the basic thing is, what we are realizing is if your products are based on little bit of technological gains, you can actually realize in revenues which are higher
and you don't have the same competitive landscape for competition.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So if just like our specialty chemicals, so slowly our endeavor is to get into higher and higher value-added or technology-based products where you don't play in the plain vanilla playground.
Yeah, okay. I got the point. So as far as pharma segment is concerned, how much would this be the percentage of the total R134a gas refrigerants sales?
Yeah, see, right now, what we sell to propellant, would be about 10%.
10%.
Yeah, because we'll produce 8,000 tons and about 800 tons we'll sell for propellant. For pharma, we don't sell any because that today we buy from DuPont.
We buy from DuPont.
That's part of the acquisition we did last year.
Yeah, last year, in December 2014.
That's right. So, but yeah, we are setting up our own plant, in which case about 1,200 tons of 134A will go into pharma.
Okay. Fine.
Okay, in that case.
How much was the capex for this plant that we bought?
25 crores.
How much?
25 crores for the pharma piece.
Okay. Fine.
They are 26 crores. Basically, it is the same gas you refine further.
Yes. Right.
You distill it further. That's it.
Yeah, I got it. So, out of this 500 ton capacity...
Sir, would you like to come back in the queue? I'm sorry.
Is it okay if I ask one question only?
Sir, due to time constraints, I need to go ahead with the next question.
Okay, fine. I'll come to the question.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Sneha Tulraja from NK Global. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. The question was related to, sir, as you said, we can expect the margins of around 13 to 14% for packaging films. That is around stable margins going forward. If at all, you can give similar lines for technical textile segment also?
Technical textile, we normally give a much wider range.
Okay.
Actually, on a, let's say, sustained basis, technical textiles would be in the region of 12 to 16. I would say in a bad year, it would be 9%, and in a good year, it would be 16-17%.
So what is your outlook for FY16? I mean, the ongoing quarter?
Sneha, you've been on my call before or this is the first time?
Okay, so that will be first time for me.
Yeah, first time for you, so you'll slowly realize that I don't give guidance, especially on margins.
Okay, sir, not even.
And I don't want to fight tomorrow trying to meet a margin which I have committed to you.
No problem, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Raja. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we are taking the last question. The last question is from the line of Chintan Modi from Motilal Oswal Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hi, Chintan.
Sir, few observations on the balance sheet side. One is that we have seen our borrowings coming down by around 250 crores.
Okay.
Trade payables going up and current investments going up. So if you could just throw some light on that.
Achha, what has happened is actually current portion of long-term debt has changed. Borrowing, aggregate borrowing would be similar. It is just rebucketing because your long-term, current portion of long-term debt has become current.
Okay, so it has gone into other current liabilities. Okay, in case
I tell you, like we said earlier,
yeah,
I don't expect a major change between March 15 and March 16 balance sheet, a major change on debt.
Okay. Okay. So, the trade payables that have gone up?
Okay. This is also part of current portion of CPLTD. So, there's no change, major change in the balance sheets.
Okay.
What may happen is what you are seeing is a snapshot picture of a particular day.
Right.
No change, no structural change in the balance sheet.
Okay,
one more thing I should tell people that recently, this quarter, we started a shared service center also. So there, what we have done is we put certain back office transactions and or let's say transactions of... certain activities of a transactional nature, we put them together like vendor payments, payroll, and and bank reconciliation. We put them in one office in a shared service in our, you know, endeavor to reduce costs and make it more efficient and more compliant. So I think once it stabilizes, it should have some effect in terms of efficiency.
Okay. Sir, on the technical textile side, do we have a split available of the revenue in terms of how much we sell it to two-wheelers, MHCVs and other?
Not at the moment, but next time I'll try and find. See, actually we don't know because I don't sell to two-wheelers.
Okay.
I sell to tire companies.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so this mix you will get better from them.
Okay.
Because I sell something which goes into all these tires.
Yeah, but...
Broadly, I can make out by the kind of product I'm selling.
Mm-hmm.
Broadly. Right, okay. But the same thing could go in three-wheelers or it could go in motorcycles, I can't say.
Right. So on the specialty chemical side, can we, you know, if you can share the price range of the products that we sell. So like our price range begins from 500 to 15,000 per kg, something like that, some color if you can share.
No.
Okay.
Good try, Bhattinta.
No issue. On the packaging side, we generally see that, as you already mentioned, that in South African plant, we see that it, in the December month, we see it closed down for some time. If you can share how much for what long period will it that remain?
It actually closes a little before Christmas.
Okay.
And a lot depends on the date and weekend, when is the weekend coming around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Opens after the first weekend on January.
Okay.
In January.
Around 10-15 days.
It amounts to about 3 weeks. Could be few days less than 3 weeks or few days more than 3 weeks.
Okay. So our quarterly run rate of packaging will see a little bit of slowdown in the quarter three.
That's right. Actually, that's why I say during these months they've been producing over 100% capacity utilization.
Mm-hmm.
Factors like this will bring it down on an annual capacity to 95 or 93 or 94 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the shutdown.
Okay.
So what you have to do is actually produce more and keep it and mm-hmm. then be able to export it because export markets may still have a demand.
Okay.
But this is quite unique to South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine, sir. I think that's it from my side.
Thank you, Mr. Modi. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I'd now like to hand the floor back to Mr. Rohan Gupta of MK Global for closing remarks. Thank you.
Yeah, before Rohan, you come on, I just want to wish everybody here a happy Diwali. And I wish that all of you have a very good trading and a business year ahead. And may your revenues increase even more than mine.
So that's a fantastic wish. I think all of us are expecting that. So thank you, Vikram, for giving your comments. And sir, thanks a lot for explaining us very patiently all the nitty-gritties of the business. Sir, before we could just wind up, only couple of very small questions from my side.
Okay. I was waiting. How come you didn't ask? Yeah.
Sir, one is that on technical textile, we had a slightly lower profitability in the current quarter. Does it have any sort of one-off
How
element?
Do you say that? If you I'll tell you one key test. Just pick up the EBIT numbers of September, 3 months September. It is 11.9. Just now it is 12.6.
Right.
So how's it gone
in terms
down?
Of margins, I mean...
Yeah, margins, EBIT margins.
Yeah. So in terms of absolute number, I mean, if I look at the quarter on quarter, so...
Because I told you, na, what will happen in numbers because of the whole slab has come down, na, crude.
Okay. So there is no one-off or there is no provisioning or anything in there?
No, there is one in technical textiles. In actually, in consolidated, you'll find...
Yeah.
A 6 crore provisioning. There's a 6 crore provisioning of a bad debt in the overseas unit.
Okay, so that amount goes to bad debts.
Yeah, so no, it is provisioning. It's provisioning for, as one would say, reserve for doubtful debts.
So any more chances that such provisioning will increase going forward because of some global...
No, I don't think so. Issue is that this might just come back. I mean, if we fight for it or the customer agrees or whatever.
Okay, okay.
On this, on this customer, there is no more provisioning required.
Okay. And sir, second thing on your specialty chemical, despite a very weak agri-chemical outlook which you shared, then also you continue to maintain your growth outlook. And I believe that the business which we have lost in agrochemicals is probably lost. It's not going to be compensated in second half. But with your confidence, with the 30 to 35% growth outlook which you are maintaining, it means that the growth in other business segments like pharma and all have been higher than what we had built, what we had projected at the start of the year?
No, or it can be the other way around. That because I didn't do well in these two quarters, I had a renewed effort and there are new products being launched which will give me revenues which I had not planned for earlier.
Okay. Okay, so because this business segment was going weak, so that's why you had to put your energy in other business to
in or in the same segment, different products.
Same segment, different products.
Correct. Okay. So we had to take countermeasures. So the our confidence is in the countermeasures.
Fine enough. So so it doesn't mean that probably our base which has increased now and probably with the other businesses doing so well, we may be doing better in this segment going forward in FY17 probably, or maybe continue to grow at 40%.
Rohan, I didn't understand the long question, but all I can say is right now we are maintaining the forecast that we had said.
Fine enough, sir. Great, sir. First, once again, thank you very much for giving us your valuable time.
Thank you, Rohan.
And wish you also, on behalf of NK and everyone, a very happy Diwali.
Okay.
And to the whole management team. On behalf of NK Global Financial Services, I thank all the participants who logged in for the call. And once again, a very happy Diwali to everyone. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Vikram. Bye.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of NK Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thanks for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.